Okay, folks, we're coming to a short stairway. Use the handrails and be careful, please. Okay, folks, let's find out where we are. We got on the elevator right here, came down, stood on the balcony overlooking the power plant, down that stairway out on the power plant ramp about that far, then right up that yellow line, and you're now standing over the second largest water pipe in the world, and it's called a penstock. More about that a little bit later. The Colorado River flows in this direction. In order to build a dam here, the very first thing they had to do was to get rid of that river. So they came up here above where the dam was to be built, and drilled and blasted out 4 diversion tunnels, 2 on either side, into the canyon wall around where the dam was to be built, out in the river down below. Each one of these tunnels were drilled and blasted out at 56 feet in diameter and then lined with 3 feet of concrete. You're now standing in one of those old diversion tunnels. They then came up here and they built a cofferdam about 100 feet high to force this river into these diversion tunnels. Came back down here, built the other part of that cofferdam about 65 feet high, to keep this water from backing into the work area. They now head from here to here where they could build a dam. They pumped the water out of this area and excavated down another 135 feet to bedrock. Okay, folks, if you will, please take a look at this picture taken during construction. Looks like a series of boxes or blocks stacked one on top of the other. And those are wooden concrete forms. Each one of those forms are exactly 5 feet high, but they did vary in area somewhat because they did not build the dam right straight across the river from canyon wall to canyon wall. They built it in the form of an arc, and it's called an arch gravity design dam, where the force of the water coming down the Colorado River hits the face of the dam and tends to try to drive these wingtips further into canyon wall. It's a very strong design. They did build 2 concrete mixing plants here. They did pour concrete for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, or 2 years less 6 days. Now every bit of that concrete came down in individual 8 cubic yard bucket loads. 8 cubic yards of concrete into one of these forms, the smallest of which is 22 by 25 feet, only filled that form up about 3 or 4 inches deep. So there goes that story you may have heard that there are workers buried in the concrete here. Couldn't possibly happen. But what they did bury in that freshly poured concrete was 1-inch steel water pipe. They came down here in this lower cofferdam, and they built an ice plant capable of making 1,000 tons of ice a day. They used that ice to chill the water that they forced through that pipe in this newly placed concrete. As concrete hardens, or cures as we call it, it produces heat. The more you can control that heat, the better job of curing you're going to get. So they used the chilled water method of taking that cold water, forcing it through that pipe in that newly placed concrete, picking up some of that heat, then carrying that heat out and away. They felt if they did not use a method such as this, that would have taken approximately 150 years for the concrete in the interior part of the dam to cool down. So the system did work. And as it hardened and they removed these wooden forms, it left voids vertically and horizontally as forms came together. And those voids were filled with grout under high pressure, grout being a mixture of concrete and water. When this is done, you have what we call a modified monolithic pour, or basically a solid block of concrete, which when completed would be 660 feet across the base, 45 feet across the top, 1,244 feet from wingtip to wingtip, 726.4 feet high. 6.6 million tons of concrete. That's enough concrete to build a two-lane highway from New York City to San Francisco. Or, put another way, a four-foot-wide sidewalk from the North Pole to the South Pole. They had to protect that concrete a little bit. Next thing they had to do then, build a couple of spillways. As you got out of your cars or your buses this afternoon, you may have noticed those spillways. Here they are, one on either side. What they did, they came in here and they blocked these diversion tunnels off in this area through here, closed these gates up here. Now this yellow part is forever underwater, underneath that lake up there, and completely useless. But they did incorporate into the design of the dam the balance of those diversion tunnels, using these outer two as spillway tunnels. Now these spillways were built so that the top of the spillway is 27 feet lower than the top of the dam. This assures us then that any excess water coming down the Colorado River, rather than overtopping the dam, overtops these spillways on either side, goes into the canyon wall around the dam, out in the river down below. Each one of these spillways is capable of handling 200,000 cubic feet per second of water. That's the same amount of water that goes over Niagara Falls. Well, three times higher than Niagara Falls does, the time that water reaches this area down in here, it is flowing at between 100 and 120 miles an hour. Okay, we have protected the spillways. Now they had to get some water into the power plant. What they did, they built four intake towers, two on either side of the river, on ledges above the river. Each of those towers that you saw out there in that lake are 395 feet high, each with two 11 by 32 foot gates in them, one gate near the bottom, one about halfway up, to let the water in. The water then coming in the penstocks, like the one we're standing over right now. This penstock you can see on either side of us out here is three stories high, or 30 feet in diameter, made of 2 3/4 inch steel boilerplate, made in section 22 feet long, each section weighing approximately 150 tons. Each of these 22-foot sections is joined to the next section using pressure pins like this. The water pressure in that penstock out there this afternoon, approximately 234 pounds per square inch. Here we have the water this far. Now we divert that into 13-foot penstocks or water pipes, each one going to a turbine. The force of the water turns the turbine, which turns the rotor in the generator and generates power. The water then coming on the tail race we saw it up there and going on downstream to be used at least six more times before it reaches the Mexican border to generate more power. Good, clean, reusable, non-polluting source of energy. The cost of the project, $175 million. I say project because that includes the building of the dam, the building of Boulder City about 7 miles up the road, the highway and the railway from Las Vegas out here to the dam site, and in Southern California they built the All-American Canal, which takes water to the people and the crops of the Imperial and Coachella Valleys. This money was borrowed on a 50-year term at 3% interest and was paid off in full in 1987. The people that worked here, and they did work 24 hours a day, average 24-hour workforce was about 3,500 men. The most they had at any one time was, when they were pouring concrete, 4,300 men. The laborers on the job made 50 cents an hour. Highest paid man on the project was a power shovel operator at $1.25 an hour. Out of each man's paycheck, the contractor did deduct each day $1.60, because the contractor was feeding and housing the men in Boulder City and taking them back and forth out here at the job site. They did have 96 industrial deaths. The biggest single category of death was classified as falling material, basically falling rock. But they did have some killed by explosion, some by drowning, some by electrocution, and other types of accidents you might expect to have on a job of this magnitude. They did complete the project 2 years ahead of schedule and under budget. Started in early 1931, completed late 1935, just 12 days short of 5 years. Do you have any questions? The overhead pipe. That's the fresh air pipe. In the summertime, the temperature of the air outside gets to be as high as 120 degrees. So they bring that fresh air in, and they pass that fresh air over a sump at the base of the dam. The water in that sump's at constant 53 degrees. It cools that air down to between 68 and 72 degrees, then they force it back throughout the dam. So it's air conditioning without refrigeration, like a big evaporative cooler or swamp cooler. Any other questions? Yes. Yes, we have several things. First place, we had three seismographs go out the dam. We recorded those, but nobody down here felt them. But we do have sensors built right into the concrete. Any movement that concrete makes is measured and recorded. And they had very little of it this morning, very little. Any other questions?
How far are you sending electricity to California?
Okay, 56% of our power goes to Southern California, 25% of it stays in Nevada, 19% of it goes to Arizona. What the government did is they got together with delegates from those three states in 1930 to allocate the power that would be generated here when this dam is completed. California was growing very fast at that time, so they asked for and got most of the power. But by the same token, Las Vegas, about 35 miles up the road here, at that time, was nothing but a watering stop on the railroad. No hotels, no casinos. We asked Las Vegas to take 5% of the power we could produce here, and they agreed to do that. But that's all they get today, because that contract is good through the year 2017. So all those lights you see burning up there in Las Vegas comes from power from steam plants owned and operated by Nevada Power Company using fossil fuel. They get very little hydroelectric power. Okay, folks, if you follow me now, I'm going to lead us out of here. Okay, here we go, folks. It's a fantastic job they did down here. Yeah. Right now there's about 200. That includes the security people, the guide force, the nursing staff, the people that run the computer room, the office force, as well as the people that work on the dam. And that's a 24-hour figure. But that figure is becoming smaller every year, because every year we are becoming more highly computerized. Okay, folks, there's a code group coming in. Stay to your right, please. Stay to your right. Stay to your right, folks. Tour group coming out. Okay, if you would, left the stairway when you get on the balcony, away from the blue couches on the balcony, please. Anybody needs the elevators available? Anybody needs the elevator seat available? Come on. Come on, then. Okay. Up the stairway again. Yep, okay, here we go. Hi.
That was the turbine over here off the side.
Yeah, that's the turbine runner, you bet. That's a computer design, made of stainless steel. It's designed in such a way that it's when I'm running at 180 RPM, it actually lifts that 800 tons up a quarter of an inch. So your main thrust bearing is the very top of this structure right down here. This is the rotor. The rotor and the runner have come out of our A7 generator. What happened? We lost the water seal down there. So we had to pull those out to fix that water seal. They'll be replaced within a couple of weeks now. That rotor in that part of the shaft weighs 580 tons. Okay, folks, give me a little please. Follow me now. Doing? Okay, folks, we're waiting for the elevator. Does anybody have any questions?
How long have you been doing these?
About 5 years. I've retired twice, can't stand retirement to come back to work at a fun job. Anybody have any questions? Around the dam. The water comes in those towers, goes around the dam, and comes in from the side.
Each individual turbine.
Yeah.
Your water drops in the center where the shaft goes in.
No. It comes into what they it comes in that 13-foot pipe, goes into what they call the area of the wicket gate, and there's a pipe around that wicket gate, and that pipe goes from a 13-foot diameter down to a 3-foot diameter. It goes around that wicket gate. Okay. It picks up speed. By the time it enters that goes out that aperture, that 3-foot aperture, it's traveling 57 miles an hour. But that's what drives that big turbine. It goes around the shaft. It doesn't go into the shaft area at all. The wicket gate. All the water goes in through the wicket gate.
It's coming in underneath.
Yeah. The wicket, okay. The shaft is like this, and the water's coming in like this. And it goes around like this, and then out.
Okay.
That's a turbine runner, we call it. Turbine runner.
Is that kicked up on the side like that, the water?
No. You mean the one on the floor down there?
Yeah.
No, that's laying flat like this, and the water drives that around this way like this and drives the turbine up there, yeah.
And that's down inside the...
That's way down, way down in the turbine.
That's what's generating, that's what's turning the wheel.
Right.
So you're right on that.
Right. Okay, folks, step right in the elevator, please. Right on in. Step right in the elevator. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Are you with them? Okay, I saved room for you.
All right, thanks a lot.
You bet. Folks, this doesn't include your tour of the dam. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed. Have you come back and see us again? Have any questions on the way up? Ask Norm. Bye-bye, folks. Okay, any more questions, folks?
It's
Folks, the dam was built as a tourist attraction as well as being very functional. It's terrazzo flooring, you see. Terrazzo is marble chips put down to concrete, ground down and polished. This terrazzo flooring was put in here by one Italian family by the name of Martina. Okay, there's 2 3/4 acres of this terrazzo flooring in the floor. But the designs you see is what that Italian family saw and interpreted from Southwest Indian blankets and pottery. That's where the designs came from. Any other questions? That's right. 2 elevators down. Mm-hmm.
The rest of it's just solid.
Right. Well, there are 2 miles of tunnels going this way across the dam. They have a pipe gallery, they have a drainage gallery, they have a cable gallery, and they have an instrumentation gallery. And all those things they measure constantly the condition of the dam with that instrumentation gallery.
They'll open 7 days a week?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it unusual to do the generator room floor, something like this? Or just...
Yeah, in fact, it was built during the Depression, and they wanted to make it a tourist attraction. It was at that time the largest dam in the world, and they wanted to make it very nice. Yeah, it's unusual. Usually you just have concrete decks. Yeah. Yeah. Any other questions, folks? Yes?
What are the chances of a leak?
Well, it leaks all the time. You see, concrete's porous, and because concrete's porous, there's water coming through at all times. But that's good. Because if there are no moisture in concrete, it dries out and spalls and chips and turns to powder. Wouldn't make a very good dam. So as long as that lake is back there, forcing that water through the concrete at all times keeps that concrete in the stage of what we call being green. Green concrete is very strong, so we have a good strong dam. Yes?
Okay.
That's a 5-story parking garage, and the new building is a new visitor center. A 5-story parking garage will hold 450 cars. Okay, the new visitor center will have 3 evolving theaters in it. You'll have a staging area for people going on tour. It'll have a museum. The top deck of that building will be an observation platform. We look back at the dam in one direction, downstream in the other. Now, when that's all done, they hope to be able to figure to handle between 1.2 and 1.3 million people a year. Last year, we had 729,889 people go through the dam. But we had to turn people away almost every night. There's not enough time today to get everybody through the dam who'd like to see it. No, but it'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? Pay for this place.
When's completion on that parking garage?
They figure between 15 and 17 months. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, step right in the elevator, please. Right on in. Okay, folks, this does conclude your tour of the dam. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed having you. Come back, see us again. Have any questions on the way up? Ask Norm. Bye-bye, folks. Okay. Folks, the question is, did they ever have to use a spillway? Yes, just once in the history of the dam. That was 1983. What happened that year is they had a very heavy snowpack in the Rocky Mountains, and that was followed by rain and hot weather, which created a flooding condition. We had more water coming down the Colorado River system than they could put through the power plant. Every reservoir in the Colorado River system was full to overflowing that year. On July 2nd, water overtopped our spillways out here. 6 days later, it was going over 4.5 feet high. And that went on for 66 days. At the end of that time, there was no damage to the dam or to the power plant. But further on downstream, where people had built in the floodplain, they did have $30 million worth of damage, but no loss of life. But that flood's what left that white line around the lake out there. That white line indicates it was going over the spillways 4.5 feet above flood stage. It gives a false impression that makes it look like the lake of the level is low, or level lake of the low. Actually, we're 8 feet above normal for this time of year. Yeah, we had a very good snowpack last year.